Father, for your word that is alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Okay. Amen. I want you to turn with me to John 9, 1 through 11. And forgive us, the main computer we're using for PowerPoint and so forth crashed last night, so we're doing a makeshift thing, so if it's not up there, if you have your Bibles, that's why you should bring your Bibles to church. It's always a good idea, especially to make notes in, too. We're in John chapter 9. We're going to talk about the first 11 verses. John chapter 9. Many of us know this story, but I want to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective today. Beginning verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because in the day, if you were born with something bad or something bad's happening to you, the connotation was there was sin in your family or in your life that was causing this to happen. So that's where this question came from. And remember, sin is anything that is apart from the heart of God, basically. Okay? Anything that separates us from God's heart. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Keep that in mind. That's a powerful, bold statement. That the works of God may be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. In other words, he looks like him, but it's not really him. He said, I am he. Hello, it's me. Therefore, they said to him, how are you, your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. So we look at this and we think and focus on the man whose eyes were healed, right? What Jesus did. But Jesus was doing something behind all that that a lot of times we don't notice, right? The statement was, neither sinned his family or him. Nobody did anything wrong. But this happens because sin was naturally in the world because of what happened with Adam. But guess what? He's like this right in front of you, right here today, because God's doing something. God's about to reveal himself, reveal how real he is. But see, here's the thing. I'm here to tell you right now, the revelation is not alone in the fact that this man was healed. But let's look at what really happened for a second. I want to look at four different elements to this. One is the heart. What do I mean by that? Jesus saw this man. What did Jesus do? Did he say, oh man, You're blind, and I know you're blind from birth. Come here, let me heal you. You know what he did? He said, hi, and he kept walking. It was the disciples who pointed it out and said, hey, Jesus, this guy you just passed, this guy on the road, what's up with him? Why is he the way he is? Is it his parents' fault or his fault? See, Jesus saw the man, right? Did he purposely ignore him? Did he ignore him because he didn't love him? Jesus never did anything outside the heart of the Father. Ultimately, part of the heart of the Father was to heal this man. But there was something more powerful going on. This man is going to have a testimony. But what was happening with his disciples? We talk about equipping, right? We talk about we are, as a church, to equip and for the minute work of the kingdom. Do you see the equipping that Jesus was doing right now? Jesus saw the man first, but let his disciples make a decision. He let his disciples ask the question. He didn't just go up and go, be healed, and his disciples went, whoa, look at our teacher. He walked right on by and brought his disciples into what God wants to do. So Jesus didn't heal him right away. He let things play out so his disciples' hearts would be where they need to be for him to reveal something to them. See, this is called religion. Why did this man be the way he is? Why is he the way he is? Religion says, you must have screwed up. So be saved, and then we'll heal you. Right? Isn't that what we do? It's not what Jesus did, is it? He saw man, and we know the heart of God, and we know the heart of God is in Jesus. So Jesus knew the healing was coming, but he was also doing something in the hearts of the disciples. See, Matthew 7 and 8, what did he say to do? He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the heart of God being revealed on earth, right? And in doing so, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He was teaching his disciples to recognize when God wants to do something and equipping them to be the one to do it. We're not going to say, oh, I'll pray for you and walk away and then maybe think about them as we're laying in bed at night praying for them. He was ingraining in them something that when they walk by and see a man with a limp or see somebody crying or hurting, say, hey, what's going on? God wants to heal you right now. God wants to reveal himself to you. And he wants to do something. He was training them up to reveal the kingdom of God, where they were. See, he was teaching them how to ask a question. You know, we ask God, and we ask ourselves all the time, right? Disciples asked who sinned, what was the origin, why is this happening? Think about how many times we walk across people, and we say, why is this happening to me? Lord, why is this hurting me right now? Why is this affecting me? Why are these things? See, the one lesson is, things happen because the devil is the ruler of this world, right? But Scripture tells us in all these things, the kingdom of God is at hand. God, Jesus wants to show up. He wants to show up in everything. The devil says, this is my territory. Jesus shows up and puts his flag, says, sorry, bud, ain't happening. The devil says, your leg is hurting, you're messed up, and you're going to stay in pain. Jesus says, sorry, dude, that's my territory. That's my son's or daughter's knee. I'm taking it back. He is teaching us through this example to actually be the catalyst for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because he tells us, remember this, he didn't tell us to pray for the sick. He told us to go heal the sick. All right, that's a big difference. Big difference between I'll pray for you and in the name of Jesus be healed. Or in the name of Jesus, let's set you free right now from anything that's oppressing you, okay? I grew up in a church all my life, and religion taught me to pray for people, which is a wonderful thing. But Jesus is teaching us now, right here today, not just to pray for people, but to be like Jesus and bring a revelation of the kingdom, right? So when Jesus walked by and says, "Hey, dude," and the disciples said, "Wait, whoa, whoa, Jesus, hey, what's going on here?" He's telling them, he's showing them how to care. He's opening in their hearts and in their minds the revelation that, guess what? Every opportunity you come across like this is a chance to reveal the heart of God. Okay? Here's your opportunity. When you hear there's a coworker going through a hard time in a marriage, guess what? There's your opportunity to pray and believe. Pray with them. And then pray for them. Okay? This is our chance. I mean, I know it's uncomfortable sometimes because guess what? We're stepping out in risk here. But this is what Jesus did. And to Jesus, it was never a risk because he knew the heart of God. So this is a connection to intimacy. Compassion for man comes first from intimacy with Jesus. Okay? I cannot even give a darn about you if I don't have intimate relationship with Jesus. Okay? You tell me your problems and go, tough luck. But true compassion comes from intimacy with Jesus because it connects my heart to the heart of God. And this is what Jesus was showing his disciples. He was teaching them to break the wall of ritual and religion and even formality, right? I mean, like I said, I grew up in the church and the formality was, I'll pray for you. Relationship says, man, Jesus loves you. God loves you. You're not supposed to be like that. Let's claim this territory back from the devil. Let's take back the heart. Okay? And this is just not limited to physical healing. This is for in any way. And just as a caveat to this, sometimes the process is weird. Okay? I just need to say this as I go through this, and I'm probably not going to finish this sermon today. We'll continue it next week. But sometimes it's weird. I mean, how many of you have spit in clay and put them on somebody's eyes? But don't be surprised if that's what Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, asks you to do. Okay? I always think back when somebody says, oh, you know, God doesn't make you do weird things. Really? Elijah went and God told him to lay mouth to mouth, nose to nose, arm to arm, to leg on a corpse and breathe. Okay? It doesn't get much weirder than that. How many of us would do that? Exactly. So I just want to say, sometimes God will ask you to do something that in our minds is a little out there. But it's never out there when God does it, okay? But again, we do it in him. And we do it with the wisdom of Christ, okay? So I just had to say that and throw that in there. So it's the heart. So God is working on the heart here. See, because when he said neither one is sick here or is sin, that caused this. It goes back to Matthew 8:11. Listen to this. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So again, he is equipping these disciples as he is equipping us, telling us it's your job to heal, cleanse, raise, cast out, and you can do it because the spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, and he wants to bring life not just in you, but through you, because he dwells in you. Because in Matthew 8:11, he says, spirit of him raised dwells in you, and that begins, and then he ends it with dwells in you. Again, the emphasis, hey, if you didn't pick up on it the first time, get it. Holy Spirit lives in you, and it's that same Spirit. So don't you forget about it. second thing about this I'll talk about today, and then we'll end after this. I have two more after it, but we'll deal with that next week, is the time. First it was the heart, now it's the time. When is the time? Time is now, okay? Now. What do I mean by that? Well, what's in front of us? Who is in front of us? Who is in our sphere of influence at any given moment? See, we know once you put yourself out there that you're a lover of Jesus Christ, people start watching you, right? But let's go a little further than that. We're not putting on a show. We're not playing theater Jesus here, okay? We're audience participation Jesus. We're active, okay? We're engaging. Just like worship is not a spectator thing, worship is engagement. The things we do with Christ is based on relationship, a mutual relationship, a working relationship, a loving relationship, okay? It's not, he's talking, telling me, and I'm going, okay, that sounds good. I'll take notes. Goodbye. That's not how it works. It's, okay, so this is what you want me to do, Jesus? Okay, how can I do this? Okay, you want me to lay hands and do it this way? All right, let me do it this way. Or, oh, you want me to speak this? Okay, Holy Spirit. What's next, Holy Spirit? That didn't do the full job. Do I keep going, Holy Spirit, or do I stop? What do you want me to do next, Holy Spirit? See where I'm going with this? It's a constant, engaged relationship, dialogue based on my intimate relationship through the Holy Spirit. It does not stop. And the time is now. The time is I'm walking down the hallway of my job and I see somebody and I feel the Holy Spirit saying, stop, look at him. Something's going on here. And I go, okay, Holy Spirit, what's going on right now? How do you want me to reveal you? What am I supposed to do? How can I show compassion? How can I show love, your love? I'm at ShopRite. Okay, just walk down the aisle by this person and I sense something. They don't look like they're hurting in a physical way, but I'm sensing something, Holy Spirit. What are you doing? What are you doing right now? And he might say, hey, you need to go tell them this. You need to go tell them I love them. You need to tell them that, and you can fill in the blanks. You never know, but it's based on relationship, and the time is now. See, Jesus declares, as we just read, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. He says this in verse 4. Well, this is the time to reflect the heart of God. For Jesus, day means his time physically on earth prior to his crucifixion. I have to do this while it is day. But what is this? I have to do the work of him sent me. See, most of us think the work of him sent me in this context is only I got to go heal as many people as I can while I'm still here. But how about I propose to you that I must do the work of him sent me while it is day includes I got to train you up. I got to show you how to do this. How to make this happen. Because this is the day. And if the same Spirit that's in Christ lives in me, I can say to someone like Martha Ellen that I must do the work of him who sent me while it is day. So while my life is still here on earth, I am to train and equip you, my daughter, in the things of Christ. While it is day, as your pastor, I must train and equip you the same way. While it is day, you mothers and fathers, you must train and equip your sons and daughters and anyone within your sphere of influence. It does not have to be related. So before our time is up, we are to train and equip. And guess what? it's not limited to just church and home either. Every time we set an example like this to anyone, we planted a seed of the tools that the Holy Spirit puts in front of us. And we build confidence in somebody to pray. Even now, teaching, whether it's Martha Ellen or those that work Children's Church who do such a great job, not just teaching them Bible stories, but training them how to lay hands and pray. The youngest, okay? Training them now. And to them, it might be a fun thing right now. They might not fully grasp the power. But you know what? That's going to encourage them. Because what did you say, Pat, that after doing things for 21 days, 21 times, whatever it is, it becomes a habit? Guess what? If you're training up a child to lay hands and pray every time there's a need, it's going to be a part of who they are, not what they do. Okay? It's part of their system. So I must do the work of him who sent me while it is day. I have to do the Father's heart. I have to do what the Father has set out for me to do while I'm still here. Because the Spirit of the Father was in the Son, and the Son had to. That's why he says, I must. Because it was the heart of God in him. He only does what he sees and hears the Father's do, right? And speaks. And if that Spirit still dwells in me, guess what? In my ongoing relationship with the heart of the Father, these things flow out of and they develop. This is our day. This is our time. This is our season that we're in right now. Your season. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Where you are, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your neighborhood, God can say, I'm moving you next, three blocks over. Or wherever, as an equipping church whose purpose is to send people out fully equipped. When you are sent out, wherever you may be, this is your day to do this. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit led me to like go from 1 to 4 instead of 3 and 2 and 3, but that's okay. We'll play it a little backwards here. But the Holy Spirit wants you to know this is your time. Don't wait on anyone else. Wait on him. He's doing this, right? He's doing this. Listening to the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me? And the funny thing is, without realizing it, I preached my whole sermon. I thought I missed 2 points. I feel like God wants to commission some of you. So we're just going to commission the church. I feel like some of us just kind of have a waiting thing going on, that somebody else will do this. It's not really my role. But God wants to commission you. I remember more like 6 years ago, on a Wednesday night service, someone was preaching for me that day, and I was in the back, and I remember Holy Spirit telling me, get on your knees, on one knee, like a knight would, to be knighted. And that was one of those pinnacle moments in my life, because nobody touched me, but I felt like the Holy Spirit just came over me, and the sword of the Spirit just touched my shoulders like an being knighted into the Lord's fellowship. And I feel like I'm just sharing this with you because I feel like that's kind of the thing God wants to do with some of you today. So would you just close your eyes, get in that receiving position. Tiffany's going to share something quickly and then I'll continue with you.
So a long time ago, I had we were at a big conference, and there was an altar call at the front, and we were up high, and you know, when you're up high, it's like, oh, I've got to do the altar call, I've got to come down the stairs, and then I've got to walk all the way there. And one of the girls beside me said, I don't have to do that. I can just receive what the Lord has for me right here. And you know, when everything makes sense and you're like, yeah, I've got faith for that, but it doesn't sit well with your Holy Spirit, that was years ago, y'all. The other day, I'm listening to a message, all of a sudden, it has to do with the commissioning. All of a sudden, the speaker said, prophetic acts bring breakthrough. And I ran because, you know, Martha Ellen, everything is Martha Ellen, but I ran and I got my pen and I wrote it down, prophetic acts bring breakthrough. So if the Lord is telling you, I want you to come slam your heart on the table, and you go, okay, well, I'll just do it right here, it's not the same thing. The same thing with the guy in the story. Okay, go wash your face, go wash the mud in the water. It's a prophetic act. There's nothing special about that water. There's nothing special. It's the obedience of doing the prophetic act. Does that help? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit want to do right now, it's good. There's two parts to this. The first part is your part to each other. Would you just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you? And I want you to just speak to them and say, you are commissioned in the name of Jesus, but use your own words and continue it. You are released for the work of the kingdom of God. Yeah, yeah. You are equipped to do this. Use your own language and anything else that comes to your hearts. You're equipping each other right now, commissioning one another. And Luke, whenever you guys are finished, if you can just play something softly. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Just continue to equip each other. And in a moment, I'm going to release you to do what you feel Holy Spirit's telling you as your prophetic act. We're just going to let the worship continue in the atmosphere with music. And you guys do what you need to do prophetically. Whether it's on your knees, in the altar area, whatever it might be. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you.